Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. Hour three of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio. It is Bogman and the Welsh. Bogman, you know what I was thinking about? I don't know why I just thought about this. Have you ever given the thought to vaping?
No, why would I?
Because I smoked when I was like in my low, low 20s. And then you were, you did a little chew.
I used to dip. Yeah,
that's the word. I was just looking on Twitter, and a couple of our people were like, someone's like, oh, this looks like a vape pen. And I was thinking, just for whatever reason, I got flooded with the thought of vaping because there's like multiple places that are trying to ban it. And I can't imagine you vaping, but
no,
I also want to see it.
Can't.
Kind of.
Why?
I don't know. The intrigue, your hair.
You just want me to do terrible things all the time. Yeah. You're like, why don't you do this really stupid, embarrassing thing? And I'm like, because it'd be really stupid and embarrassing. And you're like, but it'd be really funny if you did it.
I'm like,
it'd be really funny if anyone not you did it.
Like
that's
strawberry menthol. I want you to get like a real fruity one.
No.
Like fruity pebbles.
No.
Like a cereal.
I quit with the nicotine in 2007. So I'm not going to go back even for comedic purposes.
I can't get over when I'm driving down the freeway and just a cloud of smoke comes out of someone's car. It's just I'm not. I don't know. It might be the old thing in us. You know what
I mean? Yeah, just an old man. Well, yeah. You know, it's this is the way they're marketing, you know, tobacco and nicotine now. And it's just it's taken over for smoking. You know, you put all the warnings on all of the smoker stuff and smoking is no longer cool. But now that you have a cool contraption that it goes with that is more expensive. Now that's cool. I don't understand why, but it's just the way that things are going. So, and have you ever seen, why don't you look up popcorn lung?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm aware.
Yeah. I mean, because that's what's going on, I think, with people who are smoking now, which is actually worse than, I'm not going to say it's worse than lung cancer, but it's
only thing I
got to
worry about
faster.
Only thing I got to worry about is fatty liver at this point. So that's what I'll do a research on. Not
and
popcorn
heart.
Lung. Yeah. And heart
right.
disease and diabetes and stuff like that. Right. What you told me about Last Chance U during the break, I couldn't be more sold. I mean, I don't know if there's an easy way to go about and say it. You can't really say it on the radio, but you were kind of insinuating the father that got you in, and he has a line in there. I mean, that should be the trailer of Last Chance U, because I've never really been that interested in it, though it looks, and you were super locked into it, and I probably would be interested in, but like year three, when everyone's trying to just, you know, catch a break. It's a big TV show. It's Netflix.
Well,
I kind of am.
So here's the thing is like when I watch Last Chance U, it's absolutely like anyone who watches any of those horrible bachelor, bachelorette shows. You know, it's not scripted like that, but it's not good. You know, I mean, I'm not watching it because, oh, look at all of this awesome humanity stories. No, I'm waiting for the car wreck. You know, that's pretty much what it is. I'm waiting for the disaster to happen, and then the disaster happens, and that's kind of what you get out of pretty much every season here. So, and the kid that the quarterback from season one is just the most arrogant a-hole you've ever seen. He thinks he's better than where he is. He thinks he's better than all of his teammates, right? And then for whatever reason, they boot him, and then they bring him back for season two, and they bring it back for another season, and all of the players are pissed. It's just, it's so crazy with all the stuff that happens in this show. And it's like that old Gaffigan joke when he's like, you know, people are like, oh no, I never eat McDonald's. I only eat organic food that I grow in my backyard and blah, blah, blah. You know, but they read some trashy magazine or they watch some stupid show.
Yeah.
That's your McDonald's. Yeah. That's your version of McDonald's. And this is my TV McDonald's is Last Chance U. Most of the stuff I watch is funny or, you know, whatever, but
you should have done like a breakdown. This should have been like your solo project over at patreon.com/ITL Army, like the Last Chance U breakdown podcast.
Nah.
Last podcast U.
No, I mean, there's just like the head coach has been on, he wrote a book, so he's been on a press tour for that. And everybody wants to ask him about the, you know, the Last Chance U. And there's just
on the college podcast.
Oh, my. I do not want to speak to that dude.
What? Get him on.
He's terrible. No.
Do you want listens on your podcast?
I do. But also, why the hell would that guy do my podcast? He's not going. He's just on with stupid Whitlock. So, you know, he's doing real shows. He's not going to do
it. You pretend. And it's like, they're a big deal. Get you on quick.
Yeah.
In and out.
Yeah.
Send him links. Be like, hey, look, I was on The Athletic. You know, we're totally a part of The Athletic.
Dude, I mean, you just go and see what he did to, I feel like I'm going to ruin the story.
Yeah, you're already trying to ruin everything. So stop ruining it. It's an amazing show. And everybody is, culturally, it's everything that you want it to be.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of interesting things that happen.
So did you answer Last Chance U or Hard Knocks?
Oh, Hard Knocks. Okay. Definitely.
John Gruden all pumped up now.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, at least, you know, those are players I'm going to watch and see what comes of it. When you're watching Last Chance U, you're watching from the last season because they record for the full season. And then so like I knew the record when walking into the show, I knew that Indy was bad. So, you know, that's why I was like, do I really want to watch this? And I was like, yeah, I want to watch this. This is going to be a complete.
Has anybody from Last Chance U made it in the NFL?
Yeah, I think there Dakota Allen made it. He was a safety from the very first season. And I think he's like a 7th-round pick out of Texas Tech, because the whole point of, you know, it's Last Chance U is guys that have gotten booted off of, you know, whatever team that they're on. And now they have to go down to community college for a year or two and then get a scholarship at another college. That's why they call it Last Chance U. So a lot of those guys have made it. I know one of the guys from the first season also made it to, I think it's the Lions practice squad. I can't remember what his name is, though. He's a big, big.
Okay, so no one important, though.
No one important. No, there's been no one huge. Okay. So.
Well, important stuff to talk about in the NFL camp-wise. I think take away the Melvin Gordon stuff we talked about in hour one. Take away Elliott. Take away all these contractual issues. Let's talk about what has happened on the field. And I think what has solidified itself maybe is the biggest story is that the Miami Dolphins have been running ASU's own Mr. Sun Devil, Kalen Ballage, with the first team reps, absolutely eviscerating all Kenyon Drake early draft owners right now. Talk to me. I mean, you've been a Kalen Ballage guy. I love his talent. But the thing with Kenyon Drake was like, oh, man, you know, Gase is out. Let's go full run. Give him a chance. And he's already not a part of this. He's like running with the twos. Not to say that he's not going to be a part of it. But talk to me about the Ballage and Drake stuff, because the conversation that's being out there is Ballage is literally being given the chance to take this job for his.
Right. And I don't know that 2 days necessarily is going to convince me at this point. If we get better reports after the weekend and, you know, into the following week, you know, if Kalen Ballage is the first guy to take a snap at running back in their first preseason game, all right, now we're on to something. But this guy only had, I think, 45 touches all year last year. So you got a new coaching staff in there. It might just be the case. And I saw someone, I can't remember where I saw it, probably on Twitter, but I saw someone making this case earlier that it might just be the point where, you know, there's not a lot of NFL film on Kalen Ballage at this point. So maybe they just want to see what he has. They kind of know what they have in Drake.
You open up camps doing that, though?
I mean, maybe. And also it's a competition. You know, maybe they're like, okay, we're going to go with Ballage first. We're going to get him some reps for the first week. Second week, we're going to go with Drake. We're going to watch both of them play. This is a situation that I think could be up and down for the majority of the season, because while I do like Ballage, I don't know that I like Balazs any more than Drake. I would say that they both are guys coming out of college that had another guy playing next to them. And so they kind of split carries. They've never been a full load type of back, either one of them. So I think that it could just be some weird mix of both of them. And if I had to choose one to lead in carries, I would probably pick Drake. But Balazs could definitely do that. And then they also drafted a guy that I really like out of Washington late in the draft named Miles Gaskin. And I like Gaskin a lot. And he has been the dude at Washington who has gotten a bunch of catches and a bunch of carries. And he has carried his team for a long time. I would kind of make the comparison with him to Philip Lindsay. You know, he's not as good or as skilled as Lindsay, but he's a guy that was at a major program in Washington and led them for three.
A major
influence on me. And I didn't draft him and I feel terrible, but he's a guy that you grab at the end of your draft because no one's really thinking of him right now. And maybe he ends up with the carries. I mean, to be honest,
you don't sound sold on Balazs. Like, you are not into the excitement of Balazs right now.
I'm not, like, but I'm also like, I'm not picking a side because I don't think you need to.
Are they turning into the, like, what is it? The Redskins? Is this a situation you're just trying to avoid altogether now?
I think I was more confident in Drake until this stuff started happening. So yeah, I think this is probably a situation to avoid at this point. If Balazs just is the clear number one moving forward, he's the guy to draft. And I basically just switch my ranking of him and Drake at this point and go with Balazs over him. But it's still kind of like you just mentioned, this is a situation where you don't really want to need to be buying out of this bag. So yeah, I mean, try not to.
I don't see why there'd be any excitement around Kenyon Drake right now. Like, Kenyon Drake's cost doesn't make any sense. Where a guy like Kalen Balazs, this is all the type of stuff you need to go and take the shot at him. And, you know, you get into the 30s, he's just like way down on list right now. But, you know, there's a lot of speculative names we have out there. But the idea that you could draft Kalen Balazs, you could be a number one, I'm not sure it should be that far off from the cost of guys like Rashad Penny and Ronald Jones. And I'm not sure you'd agree with me on that. But, you know, those are the type of guys that if they win the job, we want to go all in. But I feel like they face similar issues, except outside of Penny and Jones, Balazs is running with the ones right now. So I think he's cost efficient. He doesn't cost an RB1 or 2, probably not even a 3, though he's going to start rocketing up a little bit. I'm going to be interested in owning him.
Okay, so even with that expanded cost, do you think?
But what do you think the expanded cost is going to be?
Let me ask you this. If in 2 weeks, Balazs is sitting, he's still the guy running most of the snaps with the ones, right?
Like, are you going to say Penny? Like, is it cost me Penny?
I'm just going to say flip Drake and Balazs at this point.
Well, Drake is ridiculous. I think Drake's cost is ridiculous. It's like right at RB2.
Okay, so absolutely not for you.
Well, I'm not interested in Kenyon Drake at that range.
Okay, so all right. Well, then how about Rashad Penny? How about that type of Darius Geis? Where those guys are going? Are you interested in buying Balazs at that price, or does he just have to be cheaper for you?
Yeah. See, and that's where I'm at. Like, give me the Penny, give me the like mid 30 range. When you're starting to look at Latavius Murray, LeSean McCoy, Kareem Hunt, Royce Freeman, I think Balazs belongs in that range. And I think it's extremely cost efficient, especially if the guy doesn't win the one job, he's probably the 1B. And that tells me enough, but
I think they're splitting these carries anyway.
Okay, so then the cost shouldn't be different than Ronald Jones or Peyton Barber then.
It shouldn't. No, I think it should probably be right in there. I think Drake should probably start to go lower. And this all depends on, you know, what we need a couple more weeks of news. You know, we need to see a preseason game. We need to see a couple more weeks of practices to see what necessarily is going on here. Because, I mean, we saw Philip Lindsay running with the ones because a couple guys were banged up last year and no one bought into it at all. So it just kind of depends on. I remember our draft was right before the season started. Remember, Welsh? Yeah. And I took Royce Freeman and you were pissed at me because you wanted him so bad. I did. It wound up being a terrible pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. But I feel like, let me ask you, would you rather take Kenyon? Let's just go with Drake. Would you rather take Drake speculatively late in a 12-man draft, or would you rather take Miles Gaskin in a 16-man draft at the very end?
Well, what's late for Drake in speculation?
Like a little bit after where you're taking the pennies and Freeman's, like even after Ronald Jones.
Oh, so like in the 40s?
Yeah, in the 40s, 50s.
Drake.
Okay, I would rather take Gaskin.
Yeah, no, you're a firm believer on Gaskins.
I am because the payoff is there. The opportunity is still there because if Ballage is running with the ones, that means Drake was not impressive. And Ballage has a chance to also not be impressive. And they might just throw up their hands in the air and go, you know what? Gaskin is our best guy. This is a first-year staff. Let's just play our best guy. And let's go with that. So I think Gaskin is a guy that I'm probably buying more into.
I like the speculative
as
idea.
I talk about.
I like the 16-man speculative idea that you're building here. But I don't know. I feel like it misses the mark a little bit on the talent
of Kalen. Lindsay last year.
Yeah, but it also I feel like it's discounting the idea that Kalen Ballage is like super talented. He was a really good running back. I mean, maybe he's not Eno Benjamin and the hype that he's getting at ASU right now. But Kalen Ballage was an absolute dude at ASU. There's no denying that. And, you know, being given the opportunity with his athleticism and what he can do in the red zone, I'm into Kalen Ballage. And I don't think he comes at the call. Like, Daryl Henderson is still going to probably go above him for now. Now, you get a whole nother week of him running with the ones, then we're going to get into a whole nother conversation.
He's going to rock it up.
Ballage might be going ahead of Miles Sanders and Darius Geis, and that's what we have to figure out. So, all right, don't go anywhere. More fantasy football and NFL talk coming up in the next segment right here and in this league. Bogman and Welsh, we'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's In This League.
Be excellent to
In This League.
Party on, dudes.
Party on, Boggs.
Party on, brother.
Party on, brother. It's what we do. Keanu, are you excited for Bill and Ted and Keanu Reeves?
You know.
It's like, I can't have a radio silence here.
I'm not really. I'm not. So I just feel like for whatever reason, I feel more guilty saying that I'm not interested in that than I do with. I feel no shame or guilt in not liking any of the stupid John Wick movies. So,
yeah, beyond me. It's all beyond me. All right. Camp talk. Kalen Ballage. You're not sold. I'm sold. The question is going to come where the crazy cost starts to build in. And unfortunately, I mean, early drafts, you're going to get some good value. But I think once August starts to hit, you know, the following weekend, I really do think you're going to see him easily in the RB3 area. And he could push our like late RB2. It is possible if he continues to run with ones, we get some positive speak. Kenyon Drake isn't shining. They had the report like Kenyon Drake dropped 5 pounds. And I was like, dude,
carrots.
Like, I have Chipotle and I dropped 5 pounds.
That's, you know, right. I mean? Right into the toilet.
Like, it's amazing these reports I see where people are like, oh, this guy gained 7 pounds. I'd be like, have you been to Culver's? Like, are we making a big deal about this? Should I have breaking news when I lose 3 pounds? Or gain more likely?
Yeah. And anyone who's done, like, you know, high school wrestling when they have to put the trash bag on and sweat out 3 pounds to make weight the next day. Not a big deal. Like, I mean, that's terrible. You should never be in that position, but it's losing 5 pounds is not as big a deal as people make it out to be. And to be honest, like those reports are exactly like best shape of your life. You know,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Who cares? I mean, Lamar Jackson had put on some muscle. Like, good.
Well, you could tell that by looking at a picture of Lamar Jackson from 2 weeks ago. Remember, we were talking about that on the show, that he was on the cover of some magazine. I was like, oh my God, this dude is yoked. He is. He looks much stronger than he did. How tempted
are you to just completely fall into the Lamar Jackson thing this year?
No, like I feel like I'm already falling in, but there are people that, you know, have him at 3 or something. I'm just not going to put him up that high.
I feel like all of that is
high ranking.
But I see. I feel like all of that, what you're saying, is being given to Kyler Murray. Like there is quite a Kyler Murray craze that's starting to happen.
By the way, I just came back by this Tyler White picture. So
the one that looks like you.
He looks so much like me. He has the gut and everything. So mine is clearly bigger than his at this point, but looks so much like me. But yeah, like look, Lamar Jackson has the type of upside that he could be a top 5 quarterback, and I wouldn't be shocked at it at all. He looks so much like me, doesn't he?
It's so weird. Like it looks like a Photoshop too, because yes. His head is sitting on his body in a weird way. It actually looks like a bad Photoshop. And the more I look at it, it is killing me how much it looks like Bogman. All right, go ahead.
But you know, look, Lamar Jackson can pass, but he doesn't have good targets. You know, his best target is a rookie in Marquise Brown, who it might have to start the year or at least start camp missing. He's got this Liz Frank injury he's still coming back from, and tight ends. You know what I mean? So most of his stuff is going to be coming from, the ground game. So he is bigger, which should, you know, make him be able to take a couple more hits and stuff of that nature, which is nice, but I'm not going to invest all my eggs into the Lamar Jackson basket. So, okay,
so you're not going to fall too much into it. I don't think anyone's going to have to worry about the Eli Manning craze, because that's not going to happen. Just classic Giants news. We were doing the top overall show, and we got the news that Sterling Shepard had fractured his thumb. Not good. Less than ideal. He's questionable for week one at this point. Probably misses all of the preseason. In the same step, Corey Coleman tore his ACL.
Right.
Who the hell do they have left at this point? Well,
do you know who they're looking at signing?
Please say Jordy Nelson.
Kelvin Benjamin.
No.
I'd rather have Jordy Nelson. Are you kidding?
Would give me a break to do what is Kelvin? You remember that whole weight conversation we had? That's going in the opposite direction.
Actually, I saw an interview with him. It went,
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
that's what I'm exactly. saying. He's going in the wrong direction.
He can't be in great shape. So.
You
know,
I'm going to read. Oh my God, I'm going to read you off the depth chart of wide receivers that aren't Sterling Shepard or Corey Coleman. Here are the receivers they have: Darius Slayton.
Well, he was a draft pick from Auburn. He can run. He can run a fly pattern. Pretty
You're
good.
So obnoxious, Jesus. So they have Golden Tate, by the way, and yeah. They have Darius Slayton, Benny Fowler, Cody Latimer, Russell Ooh. Shepard, and here's some names. Alonzo Russell. Sounds like a basketball player.
I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Britton Golden. Reggie.
Britton Golden was a special teamer.
Reggie White Jr.
Okay.
And Damari Scott.
Where did he click on Reggie White Jr.? Did he go to Wisconsin?
Let's see. I bet he went to a small school. He went to Monmouth.
Monmouth.
He went to Monmouth. 6'3" Monmouth. Reggie White Jr. Shouldn't he be a defensive end?
Monmouth sounds like a STD.
Monmouth sounds like a movie. It's a sequel to The Mothman. It's number two with George Clooney. And we don't understand that. Did you ever see that movie, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Weird movie. Like, there's a... If you want to get... Yeah, it's a scary movie, so you wouldn't get into it. Like, there's like a... There's just this run of these really like odd, they don't quite make sense movies. Like if you want to have a really dark, weird time, you could go watch like Donnie Darko, maybe put on Solaris, a lot of George Clooney movies, and then watch like Mothman Prophecies or whatever it's called. Like, there's some whacked out movies that Clooney was involved in.
It sounds like the worst superhero ever, by the way.
The Mothman?
The Mothman Prophecies.
But it's like, but it's one of those like conspiracy things. Like, people think like there's a Mothman that's like real. It's a real thing. Type it in.
It's based on a real thing?
Well, it's based on like a, as much as a chupacabra is real.
Okay.
Yeah. People, they believe there's this moth, this creature, this Mothman, and all this weird stuff happens. And that's
this
like,
is like crab people from South Park.
Yeah.
You remember how crab, do you know how crab people got started?
No.
From South Park?
No, I don't. Tell me.
Crab People was an episode that they put in the can. They're like, look, whenever we run out of ideas, we're doing Crab People. And they did that for like 10 years. And then one.
Like they just had a new Crab People episode or they just.
No. They had Crab People in the can. Like, this is an episode we're willing to do when we run out of material and we can't think of anything to write for that week. We're just going to do Crab People.
That's so
good. That's where they came up with Crab People.
I like that. So that's how Mothman Prophecies was.
Hey, yeah, probably. And then that's how Aquaman got made.
So. and that's apparently dogs lay eggs. I did not know that. I learned something today.
Did you ever watch Aquaman?
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
No, it's the only superhero movie I have not seen. Oh, no, that's a lie. And Shazam. So DC movies, I kind of, well, I also didn't see Iron Fist because it looked horrible.
But that wasn't Iron Fist, a show. Not
it was a show, yeah. But the only movie, Aquaman is probably the biggest movie that I have not seen. But I'm also super, super disinterested because DC, like, they're out on having a universe. So, like, why do I want to watch this movie about Aquaman's not interesting. And Jason Momoa or whatever.
But what's her name? The chick that's in it is so hot.
I don't care.
Yeah, no, I do, but
it looks horrible. Shazam looks even worse. I don't care about any of those things. I want connected universes. I'm a millennial, apparently. This is all I care about. If you don't give me after credit scenes and you don't give me a connected universe, I don't care.
Dude, I don't know why, but wasn't Aquaman like 4 hours long? It was the longest thing I've ever seen in my life. And there's just at one point. There are crab people talking to him. And no, I was like, I was like, how did these people learn English? I don't understand this.
Are they
at
actually
all.
Crab people?
They're crab people speaking English to him. And I was like, did someone put acid in my soda?
Okay, hold on.
Like, what is
are
happening
they people
right now?
That have like crab?
They're not
suits?
People. They're like,
they're
no,
crabs.
No, they're crabs.
Like,
yeah.
This is like Star Wars episode
yes,
one.
Yeah. If I'm remembering right, I could be remembering incorrectly, but I remember sitting there in the theater watching this movie going, how can these things talk? I didn't know they could talk.
Well, Aquaman can talk to the fish.
Well, okay, maybe that's it.
That is it. That's his power.
But I thought it was fish. Crabs, crustaceans.
Sea creatures.
He can talk
Bogman.
To shellfish, too?
Yeah, he's not.
Can he talk to kelp?
Okay, Aquaman isn't like, a one voice guy. It's like he only speaks American, but when he gets into Mexican seas,
American.
He doesn't know how to. He only speaks English.
He only speaks American. Thank you. You're the most American. That's the most American thing you've ever said.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, he's not like segregated to the ocean. He's like, yeah, you know, I speak really fluent flounder, but those crab people, they really get me. I just can't understand. They speak in jumbled up words, and they talk
but
too fast.
I feel like there was someone standing next to him, and they could understand the crab, too. I could be wrong, but
all the
just
Aquaman
remember,
people can speak to the sea creatures.
But it had never happened in the movie up until this point, and it was like they were bouncing around at this point. Like, this is happening in this
Now
kingdom.
You're
going to
make me see
and this is happening
movie.
In this kingdom. And then, boom, he's talking to a crab over here next to the lava rocks. And I was like, what? How is he talking to a crab right now?
I mean, you are describing what is assuredly the worst movie that's ever been made.
It was so bad.
That's
it
all
was
you're
not
doing.
Good. It was not good. And it had decent parts. And I get it's an it origin didn't. Story. But they were using great white sharks as horses. They were riding around
I'm not
great
seeing
whites.
This movie. I'm not seeing this movie.
Well, have some mushrooms and then watch
it. I'll never. I'd have to. This is a. I'd have to get paid to see it. This is a John Wick for me. I'm out on DC, Batman, Superman. I'm in. They got me with Brightburn in the that type of universe. I'm not watching Aquaman, especially if it's not connected.
Well, at least Aquaman is a completely silly, made up universe. It's not like he's supposed to be an assassin and everything is steampunk and he's using horse kicks as a weapon.
You want to know what I'm doing right now? I am rewatching the X-Men animated series from 1990.
What service is that on?
It's on illegal service. It's on no service. I found a couple. I don't know where I found them, but if you type it in on YouTube, now it's less than ideal because like the people have to manipulate the video a little bit so it doesn't cover the whole screen, but you get crystal clear audio, video. It's just a little bit smaller on their video, but just type in X-Men animated season one, episode, whatever. I just finished season one. I guarantee you I had a better time watching that from the 90s than I would Aquaman. 20 minutes. It's great. I can tell you, Bachman, I thought about starting an X-Men animated series podcast after watching it. The series is so great.
There's not enough podcasts. Let's get a podcast for that going.
And then a pinball one.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to start a breaking cards series. Video.
Jag asked me on my AMA. He's like, hey, I'm leaving town to go to a pinball tournament. How cool am I? And I said, you're just the worst.
Worst. What were we talking about?
I have no idea how we got down.
You turned this to crab people.
Well, you started talking about Mothman prophecies.
I was trying to talk about Sterling Shepard and Corey Coleman and how horrid the Giants are.
I think that Sterling Shepard matters. But Corey Coleman, leaving and them signing Kelvin Benjamin matters as much as Aquaman talking to crab people.
Well, allegedly signing Kelvin. But who would you rather have on your team, Kelvin Benjamin or crab people?
Crab people.
100% crab people. Better
all
hands.
The crab people.
Better hands trying to clip the ball than Kelvin Benjamin.
Hey, Kelvin can catch. He just can't separate from anyone, because it's like me running downfield.
Or Tyler White.
We're the same person, apparently.
So let me ask you this. Are you out on the Giants wide receiver core, or are you much more in because of Golden? Because you're a Golden Tate guy. I shouldn't have even asked that. You're right.
I think that Sterling Shepard is going to be back for week one anyway. So I don't know that much has changed here. Corey Coleman got hurt. Corey Coleman has been kicked around to 700 different teams already. So he wasn't that good anyway. So I don't know that it makes that much of a difference for them, whether they have, whoever it is, Russell Shepard or Corey Coleman running. I think it's kind of the same deal there. I'm still in on Evan Ingram. I'm still going to be in on Shepard when he gets back. And I've always been a Golden Tate guy. He's just, falls out of bed catching 75 to 90 balls a year. So I'm good with that, especially in PPR. So I'm fine.
You're all in.
I'm not all in. I'm not going out of my way. The only one I'm all in on is Saquon with the Giants.
Well, but Evan Ingram. I'm all in on Evan Ingram.
Yeah. I'm in on Evan Ingram, but I'm also not in on buying tight ends very high. So if he slips a little bit, I'll be more than happy to take Evan Ingram. But we talked about this on the Top 150 show a little bit. I like to go 3-3 in the first six rounds, 3 running backs, 3 wideouts. That's what I want. That's the mix I want. So tight ends aren't involved, and tight end Evan Ingram is going in the top 6 rounds. So
the other bit of big news, and it's, it's kind of worked in my narrative lately, but Jerick McKinnon, who I think with the 49ers is a cut candidate, he's beginning right now on the PUP because he had a flare up in his knee, according to John Lynch, which is not good. Matt Breed is a guy that he had the single fastest play in the NFL in 2018. I think he's an explosive playmaker that has had some injury problems. And Tevin Coleman is a great kind of I can be a complimentary / lead back type of guy. I just don't see the room for Jerick McKinnon. And this is just one more piece, I think, that is going to I think it ends the experiment, because they're going to see Coleman's great. Breed is good. We've got Mouse Fart, who can be a third back while also being a part of special teams. Why hold this money and honestly give Jerick McKinnon a shot somewhere else? And I think Jerick McKinnon, I think he's as good as gone. And this is just another piece that jumped in and makes me even feel better about my buys on Coleman or Breida.
Yeah, me too. you know, you kind of brought up the point where McKinnon can get cut. He's easily cuttable, and they save $6 million against the cap or whatever it is too. So I think it's definitely happening. So I think Breida is going to end up being your number two in San Francisco and just boost up Coleman a little bit. And now I think at this point, Drake and Coleman have kind of been close to each other, but I think now it's way Coleman over Drake at this point.
Got to easily be Coleman. I think in my ranks, yeah, I've had Coleman as the above guy, but it's like a no-brainer now.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to move. I think I haven't. I think I've had Drake ahead by a little bit, but I think I'm going to have to make that switch.
All right, final segment coming up. Bogman's got some good fantasy football articles from around the interwebs, and looking at them, trying to pick one here. We got camp battles and bold predictions, players and situations to avoid, accurate experts versus consensus ranking. Ooh, that one's pretty good. We are going to dig into some Fantasy Pros articles here coming up on the final segment of In This League. More Bogman, more Welsh, and more you. Stick around.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends with
in the... In this league.
In the dark.
But friends want you to become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS lineup optimizer. Or you could become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS using DailyRoto.com. What are you waiting for? Get on that. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Head over and check out their tools for NFL, MLB, PGA, NBA, NHL, and sports wagering, and you can get access to all of them with the DailyRoto Elite Package. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you're going to get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and use the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. And just an A-plus effort on my reads today. Just all across the board. I mean,
they have been absolutely spectacular, I have to say.
The Mookie Betts-like performance I had. I mean, each one was a home run. Three home runs, just like Mookie, for me.
I actually found a different article I think maybe we would want to talk about here.
Mothman Prophecies?
It's... It's the five biggest problems with Aquaman.
Oh, I mean, I kind of want to. I mean, I haven't seen it. I don't want to be spoiled because I have to watch it. But five biggest things. It's dumb. It's not collected. It's not connected to anything in the universe. It's a horrible story. Jason Momoa talks to crab people, and he just talks to fish.
I mean,
and he's the king. He's essentially the Game of Thrones character. Like, do people understand that Aquaman doesn't look like a Dothraki? Aquaman is a big, burly, blonde hair. He looks like Third Reich type of stuff. That's how he looks.
I don't know. I don't.
Big, burly, blonde hair guy that talks to fish. They got a tattooed black hair, long.
I didn't know that he could talk. Like, I've heard he can talk to fish, so I didn't know that fish included sea creatures. And by the way, they should say that. Well, they should say sea creatures instead of just fish.
Again, everybody told you, fish. It's not like, you know, the fish is his main language.
I need the distinction.
He's like, I should get Rosetta Stone for crabs.
Well, there's way more ocean area. So there's got to be way more ocean languages than, okay, so than human languages,
what
right?
What animal do you think is the toughest?
Can you speak porpoise, too? I mean, do you speak blue whale?
I think
does
whale.
Does he speak jellyfish?
Here's what I would say. I think whales and dolphins kind of speak in the same, like, sonar readable type of thing. I think those are easy. Those are, like,
simple languages.
You want to dig into, like, the deep ones. You'd have to get, like, what's that fish, like, deep down in the ocean that's got, like, the light attached to the top of its
lantern head? Fish.
Like, that thing probably speaks some damn gibberish. Aquaman doesn't know what this guy's saying. They're probably like, don't go down there.
The lantern fish is like an old man from Mississippi. You can't understand anything he says at all.
Like from New Orleans. He's like, Mary all praise all the all y'all trying all the time. He's like, I don't know what you're saying.
Lantern fish are all Cajun. Everyone Cajun. Knows
yeah, they are. Like, oh, dang, all y'all going to give me some food out here. You know what I'm saying? It's all dog out here. I don't know.
They're all Boomhauer. I'll tell you what, man. A dang old fish can't down my lantern.
Dang, it's all deep down here. I'll tell you what, man. It's all hot out here. I'm going to get some food. What do you think? What do you think is the most difficult fish language?
Oh, God. Probably jellyfish or squid, since they have tiny little mouths.
They're kind of lispy.
Probably hard to understand them.
Yeah, they're lispy. Right? They're like, oh, what are you saying?
They all sound like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes
hey, what's up? I'm the squid.
Yeah.
My mouth is real small, so I can't talk very much.
Everybody's got a plan until the ink knocked them out.
Everybody has got a plan until they get inked in the face.
Come here, man. I'm gonna ink you.
Yeah. Amber Heard, by the way. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, she's all right.
Yeah.
Well, she's fine. She's just like Amanda Peet in, you know, 20 years ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, either way, that tells you. Aquaman looks, I mean, I guarantee you it's got to be the worst.
I just want you to watch it now so you can, like, we can get a Welsh opinion on.
I bet it's worse than every movie we've reviewed over on Patreon. We have a movie review series. Ooh. Brightburn. I mean, it's probably not as bad as we it all started.
I don't think it was as bad as Brightburn.
No, I think it has to be worse. Now, remember we did it in an episode where I found the worst movie of all time. So obviously it's going to be better than that, which was, what was it called?
Like, well, the worst movie of all time is Savages.
No, it was The Outbox or whatever it was called. Remember?
The Outbox?
With Denise Richards and Misha Barton. We did a whole episode. The Toy Box. That's what it was.
Toy Box. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Just, it's horrific. Aquaman,
but it was like comically bad. Like, I feel like
I did laugh a lot. Like, remember that scene?
I feel like Savages, what was like, it was really trying to be impressive.
Wasn't Amanda Heard in that
so
too?
Horrible. No, that was Blake Lively.
Oh, okay. Well, both attached though to Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Not, Ryan Reynolds
was Amber Heard?
He was married to her, yeah. No,
she was married to Johnny Depp.
You're right.
She was married to Johnny Depp, and that ended like terribly.
Can you imagine
like,
being Ryan Reynolds and leaving Scarlett Johansson for Blake Lively?
I can imagine it.
I mean, you just imagine being able to
I don't
say
know,
that.
But it's kind of the same thing as like, I can imagine how big the universe is. Like, it's just never going to live up. You know what
I
mean?
I don't think I can even imagine that. But no, I guarantee you, it's worse than every movie we've reviewed. I don't have any doubt about that. And it would piss me off. Like, that's why, like, I couldn't do it. Like, I would have to, it's a Venmo one. It's a threat. We'll keep threading. I mean, hell, we didn't have,
how
we don't
much?
Have to do cash.
Someone gave you $20, would you watch it?
I would do that for $20. Yeah, but.
I might just give you $20.
Don't do that. I don't want to do that bad. But like, Cats isn't going to happen. We put our threats out there, no one out there. I don't want to watch this movie. It'd be a waste of my time. 2 hours of my life I don't get back for a movie that's not connected to anything, that sucks. And now you've already made it worse because he talks to crabs.
It might make it better.
Unless it was Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob. It's not. It's like, hey, boyo, I want money. Money!
Don't know any of that, so no right. Kids.
What was the article you wanted to talk about?
Weren't we going to do the accurate experts against the consensus ranking?
I like that. So this one over on Fantasy Pros, this was on July 23rd, so a little bit ago. They did the most accurate experts via them versus consensus ranking. So they did release like a week or so ago the most accurate peeps. And I don't know if they have everybody because I don't see the guy who was number one, but I do see our friendo. I see friendo Chris Meany on here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. And the article or the question at hand is based on this is Fantasy Pros, latest consensus ranking. What one player are you much higher on and why? I'm going to skip this first one because it's not good and I don't want to talk about it. I do want to talk about Chris Meany, our friendo from The Athletic. He goes, Larry Fitzgerald, consensus number 41. He says, I don't know about how much higher, but I'm higher on Fitzgerald than the rest. Good old boring Larry Fitz heading into season 16. He said, talks about how he finished as a top 30 in half PPR settings. Boy, Dominion. We got some half PPR guys that love to talk about it. Saying he'll likely fall off draft boards as far as an average goes. He says sometimes you have to take what the draft gives you, and wide receiver 42 for Fitz is a steal. A couple sexier names include Sterling Shepard, Deshaun Hamilton, and Dante Moncrief for Chris Meany. So what do you think about beating the consensus with Larry Fitzgerald?
I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense, especially if this offense in Arizona clicks. And they've already talked about how they're moving him around the field, all around the field to keep defenses honest.
All around the field and
keep catching passes. I am too low ranked. I think that it makes a lot of sense for him to still be the focus. You know, obviously he's making more contested catches now because he, is slower. He's, 16 years in the NFL. He's just slower than he once was.
I've got him at 38, by the way. So I'm locked. I'm not sure I would outwardly point out like, oh, Larry Fitzgerald is my guy, but I am bigger than him on the consensus. I have 38.
I also have him at 38.
Yeah, so you and I are both in on him.
Right. I have him behind Sterling Shepard. I think he's got to go up over Sterling Shepard at this point because he's not coming into the year with a fractured thumb. So, yeah, I think that that's a good one. I agree with Meany. I'm higher than the consensus on him.
So this is an interesting one. This guy, Bill Enright, says Damian Williams with the consensus of RB13. He has this long narrative about Andy Reid and running backs. When taking over the KC running back one role in 2018, weeks 13 through 16, he caught more passes, had more receiving yards, and more receiving touchdowns than Saquon Barkley. Ooh, hot take alert. And had more rushing yards than Alvin Kamara. While ranking fifth for all running backs in fantasy points, even with a regression for Kansas City's offense in 19, Williams will still be one of the most consistent and productive running backs in fantasy. Here's the only thing I'm losing about this article. Why are we not given how much higher they are on these guys?
I think some of them probably have their rankings behind pay sites and stuff like that.
But still, if they're going to do this article, say it. Like, I'm not sure how much this helps. Like, oh, yeah, you're higher than him? Where? How much? Like, Damian.
Well, I think being higher on Damian Williams, means that, you know, you got him in the middle of the first round because he's going at, you know, what, overall, like around somewhere between 15 and 13.
But I want to know. He's 13. He's running back 13. He's saying it's higher. Well, how much? Okay, you got him over Chubb. I'll buy that. Do you have him over Cook? Okay, is he 11? Is he higher than that?
I'm going to assume that means he has him. If they're saying significantly higher, he's got to be the fifth or sixth running back on the guy's board.
See, so when I read Meany's response, Meany, he even says here, he goes, I don't know how much higher, but I'm higher. Well, that doesn't tell me that there's a narrative here that is actually being much, much higher. I'd just be curious. I think it would actually like add to the depth of this. I get the conversation. I'm not with this take, but I don't think this is a ridiculous take. And as always, and as I've been saying for months, Bogman, the consensus conversation around this involves the words Kansas City offense. It's never about the player himself.
Yeah, but I think that is something that you do need to take into consideration.
Well, of course, and that's why he's there. But again, the biggest argument point that everybody has is to talk about the offense, not even about the player. Nobody actually talks about the player of Damian Williams.
Well, he might be better than, obviously he was kind of wasted in Miami for a long time. So, by the way, I'm looking at half point PPR. Do you know where he is?
Who, Damian Williams?
Yeah.
Half
point, just take a crack at what he's ranked.
I'm going to guess it's got to be something high or low than normal because his consensus is 13.
24.
At the position?
Overall, 24. At the back of the second round.
And see,
that's a little surprising to me.
That doesn't surprise me because the industry's valuation of wideouts. You got to remember, there's going to be, I mean, if I go look at the overall list in just for ADP, and let's go to PPR, I'll go to half point PPR for that.
By the way, he's got him at running back 6. Just looking at
these, that would have helped to know in the article. That is very, very significant in half point PPR. Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, and DeAndre Hopkins are all in the first round. Then you've got Beckham, Juju, Travis Kelce. I mean, process of elimination. It actually doesn't surprise me that Damian Williams goes there because of the wideouts there. But just getting back to that, I think that makes it so much more fascinating to hear he's RB6. That's a statement, man. That's a real statement. Yeah. That's saying Damian Williams is over Le'Veon Bell, I'm guessing. I'm guessing David Johnson comes in RB5, and then Damian Williams over Gurley, over Bell, over Connor. That's more of a salacious headline to run with.
And what the most hilarious thing I think about this whole thing is look at the very next guy. It's Geronimo Allison, and it says, Allison is my 66th overall player and number 29 receiver. And like it, all the points, you're like, come on, just say where you are. That's the first line from Walter Chapinski talking about Geronimo Allison.
Okay, well, he did it then.
He did it. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, which is what you should have done.
That's good. This helps out better. Okay, so and that's making a bigger point. Wide receiver 29. He's a wide receiver 3. I kind of dig it. 66 overall. That's a huge statement. I'm into it. I'm not quite that high. I'm a little bit more in the 90s. I think I'd be willing to pull into the 80s. But I like Walter's take there. I mean, and that is a significant from 45 to 29. Give me all of that because Allison is the true slot receiver in Green Bay.
Yeah, and Randall Cobb's gone. I think he takes a nice step up this year, and so does MVS, Marcus Valdes-Scantling.
Interesting, though. There was conversation about how Allison has been locked in to his spot, but it's been Aquamius and Valdes.
No. The report was he's way, way ahead of Aquamius.
Yeah, but I'm saying those two are the ones that are rotating on the second outside position. Aquamius or MVS are not working out of the slot. It's just Allison. Brown and Scantling are the ones that are going back to back on the wide receiver 2 outside spot. So the only point I'm getting at is Allison is locked in. I'm not saying MVS isn't locked in. I believe he is, but him and Brown are the ones that are going at it against each other. Allison ain't a part of any of that.
Yeah. No, I'm still going to be MVS. And I like both of them. And I mean, we talked about that. I have them ranked within whatever, 6 spots of each other. So, I believe in both those guys, but that it's more because I believe in Aaron Rodgers than anything. So, okay.
One by Andy,
in endless love,
Andy Holloway here. It doesn't say. I mean, his behind it, their own thing, but he has. It says RB26. He kind of goes through the narratives of Penny, the injuries from last year, finishing inside the top 24. I don't know where he has him, but what do you think about consent? Like a much higher than consensus. I got to assume that's like RB20 or something like that, or 18.
I can't be much higher than consensus. I got him at 24, which is about as high as I would put him. So like a borderline RB2. So like,
would you go, could you see Chris Carson over Kerryon Johnson?
Or Josh Jacobs? I mean, you'd have to squint pretty hard. Definitely not over Jacobs.
Well, that's RB20. Josh Jacobs is the consensus RB20. So I'm just trying to, like, 21 is Philip Lindsay. Okay, maybe there, maybe over Mark Ingram if you truly believe in him long term. So, all right, let's pick one more here. How about this one? Dylan Chapini from, I don't know this one, but Tevin Coleman, RB30. He goes through the motions, talks about McKinnon, does not tell us. He says Coleman is currently being ranked as RB30 in half point PPR. He says, but I think he should be a low end RB2. So, I mean, he's probably talking 18 to 20.
Yeah, I mean, I've got him at 25. So, that's low-end RB2-ish territory. So, I could see myself moving Coleman ahead of Carson and ahead of, Derrick Henry and some of those spots. I don't think that is significantly higher, though. I think if you're going significantly higher, Coleman at 30 and then you move him up 6 spots. I just don't know that that's enough to be significant.
It's interesting.
I get the sentiment.
Yeah, and it's an interesting article. You guys go check it out over at Fantasy Pros. Just look for most accurate experts versus consensus rankings. And what else you can do, you can make sure you subscribe to the podcast right here. Anywhere the podcasts are, you can get all 3 hours of our Fantasy Sports Radio Network show In This League right here on FNTSY. We're out. That's all we got. Come over onto the baseball podcast. More football next week. Just search ITL or In This League. Subscribe, get locked in, and come check us out over on Patreon. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. You guys have a great weekend. Peace.
See ya.